طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our fourth session, reading from the Sharh of العقيدة الوسطية by الإمام عبد العزيز ابن باز رحمه الله. Of course, the original book, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, after the introduction of the Shaykh and brief يعني look at the arkan of iman al-sitta, we're going to look at the first main topic that the author deals with, which is al-iman bi ithbat sifatillahi ta'ala. Before we do that, we want to look at some of the topics that we talked about last week from the questionnaire study guide number 3. First question being, mention some of the important matters that are included in al-iman billahi, that is having faith in Allah. Some of the important matters that the author mentions as being included in having faith in Allah. What are some of the important matters that he mentioned? Now, Muhammad. Okay, the five pillars of Islam. Before that, first thing that he mentions that's included in iman billahi, that's part of it for sure. Now, Amir, mashallah. Alhamdulillah.
Is oneness, tawheed.
Okay, oneness, tawheed. Yani, what from the most important things that are included in iman in Allah is that he is one and that he has no partner, that he alone deserves worship, that the worship is exclusively for him. Now, another matter. That he sent messengers. That's part of iman in Allah. Now, Ahmed? Where's the other Ahmed? Oh, over there. Okay. Mahmoud? Mahmoud, mashallah. And Adam? Allahu Akbar, that's it. I'm not trying anymore. Now, go ahead.
That he sent down books.
Okay, that he sent down books. That part of iman in Allah is believing that he sent down, that he revealed revelations, and that he sent messengers. Now? Now? Okay, that's also yani, that's part of yani, that branches out from iman in Allah. But as far as the things that the Shaykh mentioned that are included in iman billah, he said maybe four or five things. Some of them were overlapping, double up in. Now, Abdul Wali.
The Sharia legislation.
that he legislated laws, legislations, and included in that are the five pillars of Islam, yani the salat and the zakat and siyam and hajj. Now. So let me just mention here, because of just now came to my mind to remind us, from what we talked about, from the importance of this subject, of this book, we said that from what shows its importance is that al-aqidah is what?
Obligatory.
Okay, it's obligatory. Now, but from the things that we mentioned, maybe in the first class, the first session, from the things that show the importance of this subject, is the aqidah is the foundation, it's the usul. And everything else is furu, branches. So this shows that it's important, it's the foundation. And the foundation of our aqidah, we said in the previous session, yani the foundation of our aqidah are the arkan of iman, as-sitta. And the foundation of these arkan, iman as-sitta, is what?
Tawheed.
Okay, tawheed or al-iman billahi. Yani, aqidah is the foundation of Islam, and the foundations, as the author mentioned in the previous session, the foundations of yani this aqidah are the pillars of iman, the six pillars of iman. And the foundation, yani the fundamental source of all of that, is iman in Allah. So that's what this book is talking about, iman in Allah, or specifically one aspect of iman in Allah, that is tawheed, yani focusing on tawheed al-asma wa sifat. So I just want to remind us of that, so we can like look at the relationship between aqidah and the pillars of iman, and specifically iman billahi, which is the main topic yani of this entire book, yani the aspect of tawheed that deals with the asma of Allah and his sifat. Okay, as far as the first question, so we said that it includes iman, yani believing that Allah is one, that he has no partner, he alone deserves worship, that he sent messengers, that he sent down the revelations, and that he made laws. Yani, he made laws, and from amongst the laws that he legislated are the pillars of Islam, the Salat and Zakat and Siyam and Hajj. The second question, mention the names and duties, if you know, of the three most important angels and how their duties are related to one another. Three most important angels. We said, part A.
The angel Jibril.
The angel Jibril.
He bring down the revelation.
Revelation.
Angel Mikael. He bring down the rain and light to earth.
Okay.
And then Israfil, he supposed to blow the trumpet.
Blow the trumpet. Now, so what, somebody else, he mentioned three angels and their duties. And what is the relationship between their duties to one another? To one another. Adam, he's the youngest person here, maybe. Amir.
All of these angels have assignments that are related to life.
All of them have assignments related to life. Naam. Anybody else want to talk about that a little bit? Well, how is it, how are the assignments related to life? In what way? Somebody else. Somebody else. Naam. Ahmed.
So I guess you could say Safi blows a trumpet, which means death.
Blows a trumpet. That means it gives life. to the dead on the day of resurrection. Now, and the gives yani bringing down the rain and bringing forth the plants. That means giving life to the earth and life to the soul. Now, yani the revelation. Now, faith. Question number three: from what standpoint or consideration? From what standpoint or consideration are the believing human beings better than the angels? From what standpoint? Sharif. Bismillah.
Because
the human beings have been made accountable for their actions. And they are given responsibilities that they are accountable for. And what other thing did he mention? One other thing. Naam, Ahmed.
Tested with desire.
Tested with desire, yani. Desires, yani. Shahwa. So that means that's a trial for the human being. If the human being overcomes that, then this is a miza. This is a distinction, yani, of the human beings over the angels. Even though, in general, and as far as iman is concerned, the iman of the angels, yani, is beyond the human beings. Tayyib, mention three books of revelation other than the Quran that are mentioned in the Quran. Revelations other than the Quran. That are, who didn't give us the answer yet? Who's that back there? Oh, Abdul Haq. Now.
Salaam.
Torah, Injil, and Zabur. Tayyib. What is the Injil? Somebody? Okay. Be specific. Be specific. Okay. The Injil is the revelation that was revealed to the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. It's not the four Gospels or the 21 Gospels in the New Testament or whatever. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is what? Was revealed to the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Naam. What is the Zabur? What is the Zabur? Naam. Revealed to who? Fadl.
Dawood.
Dawood. Naam. Tayyib. What other revelations were revealed that are mentioned in the Quran? Naam. Suhuf Ibrahim. Wa Musa. And some scholars said, what about the Suhuf of Musa? That is the same as what? The Torah. So some scholars said six, and some said those two are the same, so that would be five. Tayyib, why does the Sharih, the explainer of the original text, say Nuh alayhi salam is called the first of the messengers? Why is he called the first of the messengers? Abdul Wali.
Because he was the first sent to the people after shirk.
Because he was the first one sent to humanity after shirk appeared on the earth, amongst the people of Nuh. Naam. And then, yani, so before that, the people were upon the Tawheed. Now, question number seven, mention what Allah says concerning the wrongdoers. I'm sorry, question number six, discuss briefly what is included in the core, main, essential belief of Ahl Sunnah concerning Yawm Al-Akhir. Core belief concerning Yawm Al-Akhir, the last day. Now, Zaki.
Belief in the last day and resurrection after death.
Okay, the main core belief is that resurrection after death, Naam.
After mankind and the jinn die, they will be raised to life.
Okay. That the human beings and the jinn will die. Everybody will die. And they will be resurrected. They will be brought back to life. And? Huh? They will be called to account. There will be judgment. There will be accounting. People will be called to account. Yani every one of us will be called to account for what we're doing today and tomorrow and yesterday and so on. Now, accountability. Now, fadl, fadl. Question number 7. Mention what Allah says concerning the wrongdoers who die without having been punished for their wrongdoings. In 14th surah, 42nd ayat. What does Allah say concerning people who did wrong and apparently or seemingly or some people think got away with it? They died without being punished. Naam, Zakaria. They were being delayed or put off, postponed. A day when the eyes will stare in horror. Yani, don't think, don't imagine that Allah is unaware of what the wrongdoers are doing. Rather, it's just being delayed, postponed until a day in which, yani, the horror of that day will be such that the eyes will stare out of horror. Yani, nobody is getting away with anything. Not those people, the kuffar, nor even us too. Not just them, we can also be called to account. We have to be thinking about this all the time. When was the divine decree al-Qadr of everything that will happen in this world decided and written by Allah? When was it decided and written by Allah? Okay, I'm going to go back to Ahmed. Oh, huh? Yes. Senior citizens. 50,000 years ago? Oof. Let's be meticulous. Let's be very, very meticulous. Let's be very, very meticulous. The number sounds good, but there's one anything left out. Now, fadl.
50,000 years before anything was created?
50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth. Now, the heavens and the earth have been created a long time ago, so we don't know 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Now, the last question mentioned the hadith in Sahih Muslim, which is a delil, proof for the above answer. What is the hadith in Sahih Muslim that is a proof, a delil for the above answer, that Allah decreed everything and wrote it 50,000 years before He created the heavens and earth? Now I'm Adam. Adam. Why do I keep saying Adam? Amir.
Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As.
Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with him and his father.
Narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Said, Allah decreed for all the creation 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth.
No, that Allah decreed in some of the narrations, Qadr, and other narrations, Kataba, that Allah wrote the decrees for everything in the creation 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. Or 50,000 years, now, before He created the heavens and the earth. Now, these are some of the topics that we discussed last week, and bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, tonight we're going to take a look at the real first point that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions concerning the subject of this book. So in English, in the English translation, we're going to begin on page 16. And likewise in the Arabic text, we're going to begin on page 16. The title of this chapter is Al-Imanu bi-ithbati sifatillahi ta'ala. Al-Imanu bi-ithbat sifatillahi ta'ala. Yani that a person, yani what we're going to be talking about is having iman. That a person has iman in the obligation of affirming. The sifat of Allah the Most High. The obligation, yani having iman, that it is obligatory upon us to affirm the sifat of Allah the Most High. Yani the characteristics or qualities or descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so I'm just going to make a very, very brief comment concerning this, reminding us that what is intended here is that this is an obligation. This is not something that we have a choice in. And we must, it's obligatory on a person in order to have iman that is valid, that is going to benefit somebody in Allah, they must affirm the sifat of Allah. As the author mentions, as we read now, we'll see that which is confirmed in the Quran and in the Sunnah. That a person doesn't have a choice to accept some and reject others. No, it's obligatory. In order for a person's iman to be valid, they must affirm yani the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that come from the sources of yani the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala al-mu'allif rahimahullah, yani the author Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says wa min al-imani billahi al-imanu bima wasafa bihi nafsuhu. في كتابه أو بما وصفه به رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من غير تحريف ولا تعتيل ومن غير تكييف ولا تمثيل، بل يؤمنون بأن الله سبحانه ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير، سورة الشورى 42nd سورة 11th آية. So this one paragraph here is really the core meaning of what, yani a lot of what we're going to be talking about tonight and in the future, and that is that from the aspects of Iman in Allah is that a person has Iman, believes in, yani with certainty, without doubt, whatever Allah has described himself with, whatever Allah has described himself with in his book, or in whatever وَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ, whatever his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with, yani in the authentic narrations, مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيفٍ, without distorting the meanings of those characteristics or qualities or descriptions, وَلَا تَعْطِيلٍ, without denying them, yani rejecting them, negating them, وَمِنْ غَيْرِ تَكْيِيفٍ, without trying to explain how those descriptions are, yani what is the manner of Allah, for example, of ascending above the arsh or descending to sama' dunya, how is that ascension, how is that descending, yani without doing so, without somebody claiming that they can explain its manner, yani how Allah does whatever he is described with. Wala tamthil, and without making examples, yani examples of that which is in the creation in order to yani describe Allah, without making examples. بَلْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Rather, this is the foundation principle, the qaida of Ahl Sunnah. The Ahl Sunnah believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, there is nothing like him, similar to him, equal to him, comparable to him. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, while he is السَّمِيعُ, the one who is all-hearing. Al-Basir, the one who is all-seeing. Okay, so yani, there are several points here that he makes. The Shaykh is going to explain them, but just so that they're clear in our minds, we have at least an outline of what we're talking about here. We should remember that, number one, this Iman requires we believe in whatever Allah has described himself with in his book. Whatever his messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has described him with in the authentic Sunnah. And believing in these descriptions that came in the Quran and authentic Sunnah must be without these four deviations. Without these four deviations. Tahrif, ta'atil, takyif, and tamthil. And some of the scholars mention other forms of deviation that are discussed elsewhere, yani, some of them in more detail or in less, but these are four of the main areas of deviation that the people deviated upon when they talked about their Iman and what Allah has described himself with, or what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him with. So the principle, the guiding principle for us in this matter is negation and affirmation. Nafi wa ithbat. Negation and affirmation. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. We negate, we reject that anything is like Allah. Absolutely, there's nothing like Allah. Similar, equal, comparable. While at the same time, we affirm that he is as-sami' al-basir, that he is hearing and seeing. So we negate that there's any likeness of anything in the creation to Allah in any way at all, and we also at the same time affirm, though, that he is, and he has descriptions, he has qualities and characteristics like seeing and hearing. So there must be the negation of anything being like him, and at the same time affirmation of whatever he has described himself with. We can't reject it, we can't deny it, we can't give some new explanation to it. We accept it just as it came, without yani rejecting it or denying it in different types of ways. But at the same time, we accept those descriptions, knowing that if creatures, created beings, human or otherwise, have similar descriptions, that those descriptions are not like descriptions that are applicable to Allah. And we'll also see that it means that we accept those qualities or characteristics or descriptions for Allah in a way that is befitting of His greatness and His glory and His majesty. That's befitting of Him. Okay, so this is the first part of what Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentions, and then he says, after this, فَلَا يَنْفُونَ عَنْهُ مَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. So they do not negate, they do not deny or reject from him that which he has described himself with. And Allah describes himself with this, and Allah says, we don't accept that. وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوْضِعِهِ. Or as it came in the Quran, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. Yani they do not distort, yani tahrif, they don't do tahrif, to distort the meaning of how Allah has described himself, the meaning of the descriptions that Allah has given to himself, or that the Prophet ﷺ has described him with. وَلَا يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِ. And they do not deviate, they do not deviate, yani from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned concerning his names and his ayat in the Quran. They don't cause any kind of deviation. And the types of ilhad, the scholars mentioned, the Sheikh doesn't discuss it here, but there are many. There are different types of deviation concerning the names of Allah and his ayat. And by the way, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, in his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, mentions a point which is very important, and that is that even though Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah here mentions the sifat, but also included in these principles is the names of Allah as well. And he said perhaps he didn't mention the names because every name of Allah also contains a characteristic or quality of Allah. And this is a rule in the Tawheed, in the principles of Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat, that every name of Allah is not just a name for him, but it's also an indication of one of his sifat, his qualities. And his name, he is Al-Aleem, the All-Knowing. Within it, we must also affirm that that is one of his qualities, the quality of having perfect knowledge. And a human being might have a name, Aleem, and he might not have any knowledge at all. But Allah's names are also indication of his characteristics or qualities. So the Shaykh, he said, perhaps he didn't mention the names because when you mention the sifat, so that, every name has a sifa. So it's going to be included there. Or perhaps he said, maybe it's because the difference between the people of Sunnah and the people who deviated is not so much in the names of Allah as it is in the sifat. That's really the area of difference. And that's where the main problem is. So what we're talking about here is the sifat of Allah and the names of Allah. And the names of Allah as well. So we don't negate or deny anything that he has described himself with, nor do we, distort the speech, the words of Allah, from their appropriate meanings. Nor do we deviate concerning the names of Allah, his ayat, وَلَا يُكَيِّفُونَ وَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ صِفَاتِهِ بِصِفَاتِ خَلْقِهِ. Nor do we fall into the deviation of takyif. La yukayyifuna, meaning we don't ask, so how is that? Yani what is the manner of that description of Allah? What is its reality? We don't ask that, nor do we try to explain the manner of how the characteristics or qualities of Allah, how they occur, how they come into play. Wala yumathiluna, we don't make examples of the sifat of Allah with the sifat of the created beings. Yani we don't try to explain a characteristic or a quality of Allah by giving an example in a created being. Yani the created being has a hand, and we use that as an example to explain the hand of Allah. No. Making examples is prohibited. Then he says, and this is because لِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا سَمِيَ لَهُ. There's nothing or no one similar to him. And this explanation of سَمِيَ comes from Al-Imam al-Tabari. He said that the meaning of سَمِيَ is, it means شَبِيح or مَثَل. And there's nothing that resembles or is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the tafsir of the ayat mentioning this. لا سميع له ولا كفء, and there is nothing or no one equal to him. ولا ند له, and there is nothing, no one that is a rival that can contest or contend with him. ولا يقاس بخلقه سبحانه وتعالى, and nor can you use qiyas or make comparisons between Allah and anything of his creation. And then he closes this point, and this is the end of what we're going to read from the text of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. He says, فَإِنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَعْلَمُ بِنَفْسِهِ وَبِغَيْرِهِ. Number one, because he is the most knowledgeable of himself and anyone and everyone other than himself. Allah is the best, he has perfect knowledge. So whatever he says, how can we look at anything else? He's the one who has the best knowledge, perfect knowledge. هو أعلم بنفسه وبغيره. Second point, هو أصدق قيلا. And he is the most truthful in speech. Not only does he know best, because somebody might know something better than you, but they might not be truthful. So they might say something that's not the truth, even though they know. Now Allah is not only the best knower of the affair, of what he's saying, describing himself, but he's also the most truthful in how he has described himself. وَأَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. And he is also best in expressing himself. Yani his eloquence or clarity of speech. Allah is best. أَحْسَنُ حَدِيثًا. He is the most clear and the best in speech. When he explains something, it's the most clear it can be. So there's no ambiguity. There's no doubt. What does he mean by this? Allah is أحسن حديثًا. He is the best one to express what is going to be expressed. Nobody can express it better than him. That's like, I remember a person told me one time, what you're saying, we don't accept that. Saying, no, that's not what I'm saying. That's what the Sheikh said. I'm just reading from the Arabic. Or the Sheikh probably didn't mean that. Well, if you're not reading in Arabic, how do you have any clue to what the Sheikh meant? And the Sheikh is a scholar. He knows Arabic language. He's expressing himself in clear Arabic language. So all the more so, وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلَ الْعَالَى. Yani all the more so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He expresses Himself, what He expresses is crystal clear. There's no doubt about it. He knows what He's saying. And He knows how to express it in the best manner possible. And there's no lack of clarity in Him expressing Himself. So this is yani the end of what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says. I'm going to read what the Shaykh says in his explanation. The important point here is what? That Allah has described Himself with certain descriptions, qualities, and characteristics. And Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was revealed to him. Yani the Quran was revealed to him, and he also has been yani given the authority to describe Allah and to yani give us Allah's qualities and characteristics. Yani by revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we accept them, and we don't argue or debate over them, and we don't listen to what anybody else says different than what came from the sources of revelation, the Quran and Sunnah. Yani the sifat of Allah and the asma of Allah are tawqifiyya. This is also a principle in asma wa sifat, tawqifiyya, that Allah's names and sifat are tawqifiyya. Yani they stop at and rest upon revelation. It only comes from revelation. There's no other source to know Allah's names or His qualities or characteristics. You can't like have a very intelligent person thinking and coming up with something. We don't accept it. It's only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself and His Messenger that He sent, that He revealed the revelation to, that can tell us yani what are Allah's legitimate, acceptable, valid names and qualities and characteristics. Okay, Shaykh, the Shaykh Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, his sharh. In his sharh, he begins by saying, that from yani an aspect of iman in Allah is al-iman bima wasafa bihi nafsahu, yani having iman in what Allah has described Himself with, aw wasafahu bihi rasuluhu, or what His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has described Him with, min ghairi tahrif, without distorting the meanings of those descriptions, wala ta'til, without denying yani those descriptions that came from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wala takif, without trying to explain the how, the manner of the reality of those descriptions, wala tamthil, and without making examples or similitudes between Allah and anything in the creation. داخل في إيمان بالله الإيمان بما سمى الله به نفسه. And also a part of iman in Allah is having iman in what Allah has named Himself with. And the names that He has given to Himself, like Hakim and Aziz and Ra'uf and Rahim, Qadir ila ghayr ذلك. And the names that Allah has named Himself with. And also these names, as we already mentioned, this is a part of our topic, is tawqifiyya, the qualities or characteristics or descriptions of Allah and His names. The only source for them is the revelation, the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. أَوَصَفَهُ بِهِ رَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ فِي الْأَحَدِيثَ الصَّحِيحَةِ, or that which His Messenger has described Him with in the authentic hadith. Okay, and this is very important that the Shaykh Ayyumallah mentions here, الْأَحَدِيثَ الصَّحِيحَةِ. Because there are lots of hadith that are not authentic. that the scholars of yani who are specialists in this area have clarified and yani made us to know that there are narrations that are not authentic, and we should pay attention to that. That's very important. Ahlus Sunnah gives importance to distinguishing between that which has been attributed to the Prophet ﷺ authentically and that which has not. So also whatever his Messenger ﷺ has described with in the authentic hadith, يَجِبُ إِثْبَاتُهَا لِلَّهِ, then it is obligatory, wajib, mandatory upon us to affirm that for Allah. Whatever the Messenger ﷺ has described in the authentic hadith, it's obligatory upon us to affirm that. Even if some descriptions came that we might not comprehend fully, or we might not understand, how can that be? Might sound strange. But keeping in mind what? That we affirm it. If it came from Allah and from His Messenger, an authentic source, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we affirm it. But keeping in mind that we affirm it in a manner that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're going to see the Shaykh mention this expression in the manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory. So he says, and this is as it came in the hadith that's sahih, it's muttafaqun alayh, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And he mentions yani some details concerning this hadith in the footnote, including the entire narration. But as the Shaykh mentions the hadith, he says, يَضْحَقُ اللَّهُ إِلَى رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُهُمَا الْآخَرَ كِلَاهُمَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah can say, smiles or laughs at two men. One of them killed the other one, and both of them will enter the paradise. Two men, one of them killed the other one. One is the killer and the other was the killed. And both of them will enter the Jannah. We don't normally take questions during the class until after the end. But maybe we'll just for this first time, one time. Now, you wanted to say something? Oh, you want to explain it? So in any case, yeah, it's like that. Yani, but the point here is yadhaq. Yani that Allah, the Prophet ﷺ is describing Allah as laughing or smiling at two men. He's smiling at this situation, that two men, one of them killed the other and both of them will enter the paradise. In the footnote it's mentioned that this hadith is a hadith in which the two men fought, one of them killed the other, and they asked, how is that so, O Messenger of Allah ﷺ? He said, this one killed, he was fighting in the way of Allah, and he died as a martyr. Yani the first one, he was fighting in the way of Allah and he died as a martyr. And then Allah turned, accepting the killer, accepting him, and that person entered Islam, became a Muslim. And he fought in the way of Allah, and then he was killed as a martyr. But what's important here is dahiq, yani that yadhaq, yadhaqullah, that Allah laughs or smiles at these two men, and both of them would enter the paradise. Likewise, he said, similar, this is an example of descriptions of Allah from the Prophet ﷺ that we accept, even if we don't know exactly what does that mean. Yani what we do know is that there's no comparison between this description of Allah laughing and the laughing of the created beings. There's no comparison, there's no similarity. But rather, it's in a way that is befitting of Allah's majesty, His greatness and His glory. And another example he gives, وَفِي الْحَدِيثِ آخَرَ, and in another hadith, إِنَّ رَبِّي غَضِبَ الْيَوْمَ غَضَبًا لَمْ يَغْضَبْ قَبْلَهُ مِثْلَهُ. That indeed, my Rabb, He became angry today with an anger that nothing, no anger like this, yani, took place before. وَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ بَعْدَهُ مِثْلَهُ, and He would never ever become angry like this, similar like this, in the future. يعني يوم القيامة, that on the day of resurrection, Allah would be angry in a manner that He never was angry like that before, nor will He ever be angry like that again. He says, so إلى غير ذلك من صفات الله جل وعلا, And other than that, from the sifat, the qualities or characteristics of Allah, التي جاء بها الكتاب العزيز أو السنة المطهرة. So, like this, yani, these are examples. Allah being angry. Yani, is it anger like your anger? Yani, when you get angry and then you become ignorant and you act ignorant and you do things that you definitely regret later on? There's no comparison. Yarhamukallah. There's no comparison. We shouldn't imagine that these descriptions of Allah that created beings might be described with, that there's anything yani, in the description of Allah that resembles the descriptions of the human beings. So we have to be careful from this. He says, and there are other characteristics like this that Allah has described that came to us in the Quran and in the pure Sunnah. يؤمنون بها أهل السنة. So the people of Sunnah believe in them. In all of those qualities or characteristics that came in the Quran as well as in the authentic Sunnah, مع اعتقادهم أنه لا سميع له ولا كف له ولا ند له يعني لا مثيل له ولا يقاس بخلقه سبحانه وتعالى. He says, so the Ahlul Sunnah believe in these sifat, these characteristics or qualities or descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while at the same time having the i'tiqad, having the belief that yes, these are descriptions of Allah, but we must also keep in mind لا سميع له, that there's no one, there's nothing yani in the creation that is similar to Allah. And there's no one that is comparable to Allah, no one that is a rival, equal to Allah. So these descriptions for Allah are to be understood in a manner that's befitting of His majesty and His glory. They are not like the descriptions of created beings. He said, this means that there's no one like Allah. لا مثيل له ولا يقاس ولا يقاس بخلقه سبحانه وتعالى. And Allah is not to be compared to anyone or anything in His creation. فله الأسماء الحسنى والصفات العلى. So Allah, He is the one who is entitled to. He is the one to whom belongs the beautiful names and the lofty characteristics. And the beautiful names means the names that are perfect. The names that are perfect, that are of the highest level, and the lofty characteristics and qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who's entitled to those exclusively, Himself. فَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ صِفَاتَهُ بِصِفَاتِ قَلْقِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. So we don't make examples from the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the characteristics of the created beings. Any example from the created beings, and this cannot be an example that we can use to understand the qualities or characteristics of Allah. بَلْ يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ صِفَاتِهِ تَلِيقُ بِهِ. But rather we know that His sifat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, are yani befitting of Him, are suitable of Him, for Him. Suitable to His divinity. And He's divine, so it has to be suitable for that. It can't be like the characteristics and qualities of created beings. لا يشبه فيها خلقه. So he doesn't resemble in these qualities or characteristics, he doesn't resemble anything of the qualities and characteristics of His created beings. ليس له سميع. There's no one similar to Him. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th Ayah, هل تعلم له سميع. Do you know that He has, or that there is for Him, anyone that is شبيه, that is resembling Him, or mathil, or mathal, yani like Him? And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ikhlas, 4th ayah, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there's no one equal or comparable to Him. And the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 22nd ayah, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. So do not make, set up any rivals, equals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while you know that there's nothing like Him, that there's nothing equal to Him, that there's nothing similar to Him. فَأَهْلَ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يُثْبِتُونَ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. This is the expression that I was alluding to earlier. عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ. Yani the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah affirm the sifat of Allah and the names of Allah. عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّائِقِ بِهِ. Yani in the manner that is appropriate or suitable or befitting of him in a manner that is appropriate or suitable or befitting of him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the affirmation is in consideration of the fact that it has to be understood in a way that's befitting of Allah. And if you think of a quality or characteristic that is affirmed for Allah in the Quran or in the Sunnah, and you understand it in a way that's not befitting of the divinity and the majesty of Allah, then you know that that understanding is wrong. You know that that understanding is wrong. So this is a very important expression here that he's using, yani that the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah affirm the sifat of Allah ala al-wajh al-la'iq bihi, in a manner that's befitting of him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يَنْفُونَ صِفَاتِهِ. So they do not deny his characteristics. They do not negate them or reject them. وَلَا يُحَرِّفُونَ كَلِمَهُ عَنْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. And they do not distort, yani his speech, from yani that it's appropriate, yani place, yani the meanings that are intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِكُلِّ مَا جَاءَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ على الوجه اللائق بالله جل وعلا من غير تحريف. But rather, the people of Sunnah believe in everything that came in the book, the Quran, and in the Sunnah, authentic Sunnah, from amongst the names of Allah and His sifat, in a manner that is befitting of Allah جل وعلا, without distorting their meanings, yani without trying to change the meaning in some kind of way. And here the Shaykh mentions these four types of deviation. Now the Shaykh here, this is a lecture that he's giving, right? So it's not like a prepared, written down, thought out, discussion here. He's just talking, he's explaining these terms. Some of the scholars who wrote books about this actually took a lot of time and explained the definitions of these terms in great detail, linguistically and technical meanings and examples and all of that. He's just passing over them, so keep in mind that some of these terminologies might require further study and reading from other sources where there are more detailed explanations. And also, in the first definition that he gives here, tahrif, the translation, I don't remember exactly how it's translated, but its translation is misleading. So I wanted to make a note here, very importantly. Let's see how it's translated. He says tahrif on page 19, near the top of the page. Tahrif, distortion, is to alter the speech with addition or subtraction, or to negate the attributes, either by outright negation or improper interpretation of the meaning. That actually is two definitions of two different terms. But it's translated here as though it's one definition of tahrif. Alright, so please make a note of that. This is actually the definition of two terms, tahrif and ta'atil. But they ran together as though it's one definition, without distinguishing between them. So, and that's because maybe the way the Shaykh explained it, he kind of went through it quickly, and maybe the translator didn't any pay careful attention to what was being said here. And Allah knows best. In any case, he says, وَالتَّحْرِيفِ هُوَ تَغْيِيرَ الْكَلَامِ بِالزِّيَادَةِ أَوْ نَقْصِ. Yani tahrif, it is to change the speech, yani the textual evidence, the wording, to change it by ziyada or naqs, by adding something to it or taking something from it, to change the wording. So this is one half of the definition of tahrif, according to most of the scholars of Sunnah. Yani the changing of the wording of the textual evidence itself, and the other half of the meaning is the changing of the interpretation, giving a different interpretation to the wording. Not changing the word, but interpreting it in a way other than what was intended. He doesn't mention that side of tahrif. So tahrif has two sides. He mentions one of them here. Tahrif huwa taghyir al-kalam bi-ziyada al-naqs. And he's changing the actual wording, for example, of the quality or characteristic of Allah. Changing the wording. Or an ayah from the Quran. Some of the scholars gave the famous example, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مَرْفُونَ وَالضَّمَّ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمَ. That Allah spoke to Musa. Some of the deviants, they don't want to affirm speech for Allah, so they said, كَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Yani they changed the lafz al-jalala from being marfu'un with dhamma to being mansub with fatta, which changed the meaning from Allah spoke to Musa, Musa spoke to Allah. So they attributed the speech to Musa. That's changing the wording. That's changing the wording. That's a type of tahrif. The other type of tahrif is what he mentions under ta'atil. And that is changing the intended meaning, not the wording. Keeping the wording as it is, but giving it a false interpretation. Distorting the interpretation. So this is how he explained tahrif. هو تغيير الكلام بزيادة النقص. That's it. Then he says, وَلَا تَعْطِيلُ. And in the translation, this لا تعطيل, they made it part of the definition of تحريف. And these two terms are related to each other. In that, يعني تحريف is a form of تعطيل. It's negating the meaning by distorting the meaning. But تعطيل is more general. It's just negating it outright. But it can also include تحريف, which means it can mean outright negating it or denying it, or it can mean denying it by giving it a false interpretation. That's also denial. So what I'm going to say, just so that we could be clear, the way he has defined tahrif is changing the wording by adding or taking something from it. Yani the textual wording, changing the word to a different word. Then he says, وَلَا تَعْتِيلُ. Now he's giving the definition of تَعْتِيلُ. وَلَا تَعْتِيلُ لِلْصِفَاتِ. How? بِنَفْيِهَا أَوْ تَأْوِيلِهَا أَوْ تَأْوِيلِ مَعْنَاهَا. So he says, ta'atil then, of the sifat of Allah, is by nafiha, binafiha, by denying it outright, negating it, rejecting it. That's ta'atil, one side of ta'atil. The other side of ta'atil is what comes under tahrif, where he says what? Aw ta'wiliha, yani, giving an interpretation, a distorted interpretation to the wording itself. Not changing the word, but distorting the interpretation of it. And it appears as though, yani what is intended here by ta'wiliha wa ta'wil ma'na is the same thing. And he's saying by nafiha, negating it outright, denying it, or yani distorting the interpretation of the meaning. That's what he's saying as fa'atil. Negating it outright, denying it outright, or changing, distorting the meaning of the expression. Not changing the expression, but distorting its interpretation. Any question about this? Because I want it to be clear because of the problem with the translation and the way the Shaykh explained it. Okay? So what we're saying is tahrif is changing the meaning. Changing the word. That's how he gave. He didn't give change the meaning. Although that's a part of tahrif. He just said changing the wording. Taghyir al-kalam. And then he gave ta'atil as negating, yani denying it. Or ta'wiliha, ta'wil ma'naha, yani distorting the meaning. I'll try to make some notes, inshallah. So this is technical. And because it's technical, yani we have to pay attention to it. We have to really pay attention to it. What's the point here? Okay, just to simplify the matter. What's the point here? Is that we affirm the characteristics and qualities of Allah that He has affirmed for Himself and that the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for Him without distorting their meanings, without distorting the wording, and without distorting the meaning, the intended meaning. And ta'atil without outright denying it. Just denying it. We don't even accept that. They don't even accept it. Without denying it. These are two deviations of the people of deviation who identify themselves as Muslims. They outright reject some of the characteristics of Allah. They're like, this doesn't make sense, it's not rational. We can't accept that. Our mind doesn't accept it. They outright just reject it. And sometimes they give a false interpretation to suit their mind, their intellect, that's acceptable to their mind, and then they just make it something else, other than what Allah intended. So that's the summary of the matter. After that he says, وَلَا تَكْيِيف. تَكْيِيف. يعني تَكْيِيف is يعني from يعني كَيَّفَ يُكَيِّفُ تَكْيِيف. And it's the master from كَيَّفَ يُكَيِّفُ. And what is intended here is asking how. Asking what is the manner of Allah's this quality or characteristic. يعني its reality. Asking about it or trying to describe the manner of Allah's qualities. Trying to describe, yani, how is Allah's hands? How is Allah's face? How is Allah's ascending above the arsh or descending to the sama' dunya? How is it? Takif. He says, yani, la yaquluna. The Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah don't say, istiwa'uhu kayfiyatuhu kadha. وَنُزُولُهُ كَيْفِيَتُهُ كَذَا أَوْ غَضَبُهُ كَيْفِيَتُهُ كَذَا لَا يُكَيِّفُونَ. And in the Ahl Sunnah al-Ma'ad, they don't say the istiwa of Allah, Allah's ascending, is in this particular manner. kayfiyatuhu kadha, is in this particular manner. It's like this. This is the manner of Allah's ascending. They don't say his nuzul, his descending. The kayfiyah, the how, the manner of it is kadha, such and such, so and so. Or his anger, its manner is like this. How is it? They don't try to describe it. La yukayyifuna. They don't describe its manner. Yani the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah affirm that Allah ascends, that Allah descends, that Allah laughs, that Allah becomes angry. They affirm it. We affirm it. Huh? Because Allah affirmed it. But we don't, Allah didn't tell us the how of it. So we don't talk about the how. We don't know. We know what He told us is that He does this. So we affirm that. As far as how He does it, He didn't tell us. So we don't know. So we leave that. We don't say we don't know what it means. We know what it means, but we don't know how it is, how it's its reality. Because that's another tafweed, some of the deviants said, we don't know what they mean. Yani the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah know the names of Allah and the Sifat of Allah, what they mean. As we'll see in the end of what the Shaykh says, the discussion, yani the statement of Imam Malik. Okay, takyif, yani asking how. How does Allah descend? What is it like? What is the manner of His ascending or descending and so on? Wala tamthil, making examples. Mathal. La yaquluna ghadabuhu mithla kadha, aw istiwa'uhu mithla kadha, aw sam'uhu mithla kadha, aw basaruhu mithla kadha. La. Yani the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not say His anger is like, the example of it is this, the example of it. Yani this is an example of His anger. And remember when you got angry yesterday and you was acting crazy? That's an example. We don't make any example from the created beings to describe Allah's characteristics. There's no example in the created beings for Allah's characteristics. We don't say His istiwa, His ascending above the throne. The example of it is like when you climb up on a horse, you ascend on a horse. No, we don't make any examples for it. Or His hearing, or His sight. We don't make examples that are used to tell us how yani are these characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'll just make a brief comment here, and that is that takyif is general, yani just giving, trying to describe the manner of Allah's characteristics or qualities, whereas tamthil is more specific, because you're giving a specific example. You're saying it's like this example. Whereas takyif is not, you're not giving an example, you're just describing how it is. General descriptions, like this, that, and other, without comparing it to an example in the creation. Okay, so they're also close. They're also close. Yani, given an example is a type of takyif. But takyif doesn't include giving an example. So that's why they, yani, are not exactly the same, but they're related to each other. If a person gives an example, that's a takyif. But it's a specific takyif. Whereas takyif in general, yani, is not necessarily with an example. That's the difference between them. Then he says, يعني the أهل السنة والجماعة يثبتون صفات الله وأسماءه صفات الله وأسماءه على الوجه اللائق بالله. That the أهل السنة والجماعة affirm the صفات of Allah and the names of Allah. We're talking about the صفات of Allah and His names in a manner that is befitting of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. لا يغيرون. They don't change them. ولا يحرفون. They don't distort them. وَلَا يُمَثِّلُونَ. They don't give examples from the creation for them, to explain them. وَلَا يُعَطِّلُونَ. They don't deny or negate them. وَلَا يُقِيِّفُونَ. And they don't try to explain their manner of how Allah does anything, or what He is described with, how it is. Then he says, قَائِدَتُهُمْ. Yani the principle, the foundation principle of the Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah in this topic that we're talking about here is the ayat of Allah, the ayat of the Quran, Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd surah, 11th ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Yani this is the qa'idah, this is the foundation principle. That we affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself, while negating that there's any similarity or likeness between His qualities or characteristics and the qualities and characteristics of the created beings. So there has to be negation first, and then affirmation. Negation, and then affirmation. Negating of any similarity between Allah, we say that first. There's nothing like Him. So before we get started, don't even come like, how can that be? How can it be? No, we already said there's nothing like him. Now we're saying, and we affirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself and what the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for him. This is a very simple principle. If the people who deviated would have followed this ayat, they would be straight. It's very simple. Allah negates anything being like him, and then he affirms that he sees and he hears. Well, what's the problem? We affirm Allah sees and hears. What's the problem? Not like the seeing and hearing of people or animals or anything else in the creation. Okay, so the Shaykh, he closes with this story, the story of Imam Malik. He doesn't mention the story, but the story is the person came and asked him about the ayah of the Quran, Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa, that Allah ascended above the Arsh. And he asked him how. He asked Imam Malik, rahimahullah, how is Allah ascending? And what is it like? How does he do it? And Imam Malik, it is mentioned that he put his head down and he began to sweat profusely, and then he said, this person is an innovator, take him out of here. And that's the way, people who insist on deviation. After you explain to them what's correct and you give the clarification of the matter, if people insist on that, we don't have time for that. We do not have time for that. Like, why are you arguing and debating with a person who doesn't accept that which is crystal clear? We don't have time to argue and debate. That's not a part of the sunnah, that we argue and debate with people about that which is clear. Rather, you clarify the issue and then send them on their way. وَلَمَّا سُئِلَ الْإِمَامُ مَالِكُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَغَيْرُهُ مِنَ السَّلَفِ عَنْ هَذَا. It is narrated that other people besides Imam Malik, like his Shaykh Rabia, and here in the footnote says Imam Shafi, Al-Awza'i, Al-Thawri, and others, even Salama, radiallahu anha, it is narrated from her, mawqufan and marfu'an, as a statement that's attributed to her, and as a statement that's raised up to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of my teachers, Imam Muhammad al-Jami'a, he said that almost all of these narrations from other than Imam Malik are defective, they are not authentic. But what is authentic is what's narrated from Imam Malik, that he made this statement. And in some of the narrations that's authentic, the wording is a little bit different. As Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentions in his explanation of another book, he explains some of the other narrations that are... Actually, he explains it in Aqidat Ahl-Sunnah fil... Manhaj Ahl-Sunnah fil Aqidah wal-Amal. Now, it's a small book that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen wrote, which is one of the few books that's not an explanation of a book of a scholar. It's a book that he just wrote straight out, which is rare. The Manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Aqidah and Amal. In that book, he explains the other narration, which is actually more decisive than this narration here, which is the common one. Anyway, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and others from amongst the Salaf were asked, it's narrated that they were asked about Allah's ascension. Imam Malik said four things, four words. Al-istiwa'u ma'alum. His ascension is known. Meaning that we don't say we don't know what it means. We know what ascension means. And Allah says he ascended above the throne. We know what ascension means. We know what it means. We don't make tafweed and say we don't know what it means. No, we know what it means. It's known in the Arabic language. What is istiwa? Wal-kayfu majhool. But the how of it is not known. How is Allah's ascension? We don't know that. He told us he ascended, he didn't tell us how he ascends. Well, imanu bihi wajib. And this is what I alluded to earlier, but believing in what Allah has affirmed for himself is obligatory. It's obligatory. You have no choice in the matter. It's not optional. وَالسُّوَالْ anhu bid'ah. And asking about the how of it, which Allah didn't tell us, and the companions didn't, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, didn't ask, how to asking about it is innovation. Four words. Al-istiwa is known. Yani the meaning is known in the Arabic language. Wal-kayf majhool. The how of it, the manner of it, is not known. Believing it is wajib, and asking about it is innovation. I'm going to just stop here and give the other narration that Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentions in Manhaj Ahli Sunnah. He says that it's reported authentically from Imam Malik that he said, Al-istiwa غَيْرُ مَجْهُول. غَيْرُ مَجْهُول. What does غَيْرُ مَجْهُول mean? It's not unknown. It's not unknown. And it's known in the Arabic language. It's not different than the wording of istiwa ma'lum. It's غَيْرُ مَجْهُول. Ma'lum, غَيْرُ مَجْهُول. It's known, it's not unknown. But listen to the second word he said. وَالْكَيْفْ غير معقول. The كيف is غير معقول. It's not معقول, means it's not possible to comprehend it by the human intellect. That's different than saying it's majhul. Saying it's the كيف is majhul, it means not known, meaning something not known can become known. But he has narrated that he said the كيف is not unknown, it's not possible to be known. It's غير معقول. Human being can't know it. Did you see the difference? This is very like important point here. Very important point. It's not just that it's not known. Maybe perhaps somebody will come to know. No, it's not possible to be known. It's غير معقول. The aql, intellect of the human being can't comprehend it. The how of Allah's istiwa, anything else of His qualities and characteristics, believing in His wajib and asking about His innovation. Okay, so I hope this point is taken. Yani al-istiwa ma'lum in the other narration. Al-istiwa غير مجهول. والكيف غير معقول. And the istiwa is not unknown, and the how of it is not possible to be known. It's not comprehensible by the human intellect. And then the shaykh closes by saying, بل هو سبحانه وتعالى موصوف بأسمائه. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with His names. كما أخبر من دون زيادة ولا نقص. Yani, just as He has informed us, without any increase, adding anything to it, or decrease, taking something from it, just as it came to us. وهي صفات حقيقية. And these qualities of Allah are real qualities and characteristics. It's not figurative, allegorical. These are real qualities and characteristics. استواء حقيقي. His ascending is real. سمع حقيقي. And His hearing is real. And His pleasure, His rida is real. And His غضب is real. لا مجاز. It's not something just figurative or allegorical. على الوجه لاك بالله. But it is understood in a manner that is befitting of Allah. Yani, these qualities and characteristics and names of Allah are to be accepted just as they are, without adding anything to them, taking anything from them, accepting them as reality, real qualities and characteristics, not figurative, but understanding them in a way that is befitting of Allah's greatness and His glory and His majesty and His divinity. فَلَا نُكَيِّفْ وَلَا نُمَثِّلْ وَلَا نُشَبِّحْ وَلَا نُحَرِّفْ. So we don't ask how or explain the manner. We don't make examples for the qualities or characteristics of Allah with the creation. We don't make resemblance, yani tashbih. But this tashbih didn't come in the original four characteristics, but tashbih is like tamthil, but a little bit different. Yani, there's some difference between them. Yani, tamthil means that two things have the same, yani, they're totally the same in all aspects. Where tashbih means that most of their characteristics are the same, but not all of them. So tashbih is resembling, yani they have a lot of similarities but not completely, where tamthil means it should be exactly the same. And tamthil is the word that came, yani, from the technical language of the Quran. So we don't make examples for them, we don't make resemblance to them, we don't distort them. بَلْ نُجْرِي الْأُمُورِ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا. But we accept it just as it is, the apparent meanings of these names and qualities. كُلُّ مَا جَاءَ فِي النُّسُوسِ نُمِرُّهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ. Everything that came in the textual evidences of the Quran and authentic Sunnah, we accept it just as it is, its apparent meaning. كَمَا قَالَ السَّلَفْ. As the Salaf said, أَمِرُّهَا كَمَا جَاءَتْ. Yani, accept them just as they came, without adding, subtracting, distorting, changing, or anything like that. مِنْ غَيْرِ تَحْرِيف. Without distorting the meanings. وَلَا تَعْتِيل. Without denying the meanings. وَمِنْ غَيْرِ تَعْوِيل. Without giving a false interpretation. Ta'wil is sometimes used in an acceptable, proper way, like in ta'wil of the Qur'an. But that's not how they are using it. They are just giving an explanation that's false. نُمِرُّهَا مَا الْإِيمَانِ بِأَنَّهَا حَقٌ. We accept them having faith that they are reality, that these are real qualities and characters of Allah. وَأَنَّهَا صِفَاتٌ ثَابِتَةٌ لِلَّهِ. And they are confirmed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْصُوفٌ بِهَا حَقِيقَةً. And Allah is described with them in reality. مِنْ دُونِ تَشْبِيحٍ. Without any similarity or resemblance, making similarity or resemblance. وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ. Making examples. وَلَا تَكِيفٍ. Yani, explaining the how or the manner of it. وَلَا تَعْتِيلٍ. Without denying them. هكذا قال أهل السنة والجماعة. This is how It was said by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we're going to stop with this. Time is okay, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. The chapter that we're going to be taking next week, inshallah, is a little bit lengthy, or the explanation is quite lengthy. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it in one session, but we'll see. Anyway, yani preview the next chapter by reading the whole of it, even though probably we're not going to be able to do the whole of it. If there's any questions or any comments or any corrections, we'll take them after we take a break and allow whoever needs to leave to leave, and whoever's going to stay to stay. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khairan.